Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 19th day of October 2023. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and we're going to start off, as we often do, with a review of some of the major headlines to kind of set the stage before I go in a bit of a different direction today, because there are things already in motion that are now at hand, but as we've seen since the biblical holidays in Israel, can come to a head with lightning speed, particularly given traitors from within. Whether that's true or not, I guess we'll watch and see how things play out. But on the path we're on, the outcome looks fairly certain. World War III, of course, is still in the escalation phase. The United States has announced a second carrier group being shipped off to the Middle East. We can only hope that they get all their LGBTQIA fuzzy plus training completed before they get within Russian missile range. Oops, may already be too late for that. Hal Turner's radio show has this comment that Russian President Vladimir Putin on Wednesday gave the United States what he called a quiet tap on the shoulder with respect to America placing two aircraft carriers in the Mediterranean Sea. Russia's Kinzhal hypersonic missiles can reach out and touch them. It's not a threat, he was very clear to say in advance. Putin reminded the world that Russian aerospace forces, specifically their MiG-31s on patrol in the neutral airspace over the Black Sea, are armed with those Kinzhal hypersonic missiles, which have a known range of 1,000 kilometers plus and travel at Mach 9 and can reach those U.S. aircraft carriers. But it's not just Russia, 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 of course. At this point, I need to add all of the other nations that have pretty well had it with the puppet masquerading as president in the White Whorehouse. And much of the Islamic world, it seems, too. This is from multiple sources. After the bombing of the Al-Hali Baptist Hospital in Gaza, who done it is still TBD, folks. But what matters is that much of Islam is drinking the Kool-Aid, regardless of who done it, blaming Israel and the U.S. I've been asking the question ever since the alleged rocket attack, quo bene, and I think a united Islamic front may help answer that. The black flag has risen over the Razavi shrine in Mashhad, Khorasan province, Iran, and it's being heralded as a worldwide sign of Islam coming together to fight, yep, the infidel that needs dying and jihad. And it looks like, as World War III continues towards its arguably inevitable conclusion at this point anyway, given the idiocy of what now masquerades as leadership, Americans had better start paying attention, your host will suggest, to what might happen on the home front. Especially given the inevitable economic meltdown, and it's drawing closer by the day, the open borders and the invasion and all of the sleeper cells, a crumbling infrastructure, more than vulnerable power grid, a devastated national energy supply, including an empty strategic petroleum reserve, and let's not forget the attack on what's left of freedom-loving, Bible-believing, law-abiding Americans. Back to the black flag of war and jihad. Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi spoke of it, saying, quote, "The flames of U.S.-Israeli bombs dropped tonight on innocent Palestinians being treated for injuries in Gaza's hospital, and he said they will soon engulf the Zionists. No free human being's silence is permissible in the face of such a war," unquote. And regardless of who's at fault, it's illustrative, say those that are paying attention to the black flag of jihad. So far, the governments of Syria, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Palestine, Egypt, Jordan, Turkey, Qatar, and Iran have all blamed the Israeli Air Force for the explosion at that hospital. And honestly, let me put it this way. Having seen this mentality for quite a while, hey, has anybody listening here ever managed to convince a true blue leftist that the 2020 election was rigged? You can show them all the videos you want of election workers being kicked out of vote counting stations and cardboard being put up in the windows, ballot boxes being stuffed, electronic manipulation, and don't even think about mentioning 20 Sigma Black Swan statistical events. Doesn't really matter now, does it? You want to really know what jihad looks like, folks? Wake up! It's been declared on MAGA for 2 full years now. And Islam isn't going to do anything any different. It's just that the stakes are now going up. And, oh, yeah, let's not forget, the sleeper cells are already in place. Which pretty well tells you where I'm going to go today. But before we go there, I've still got a couple of additional items to set on stage. The first one, from Ethan Huff at Natural News, says that, you know what? As all eyes are turned to the latest Mideast front in World War III, yet another mysterious factory explosion has occurred, this time at an ammunition plant in Nebraska. I guess once you get rid of all the food, that might be next on the list. The Hornady manufacturing plant near Grand Island blew up on October the 13th, killing one woman, injuring two men, at a 150,000-square-foot facility that was opened back in 2018 on land that formerly housed the Cornhusker Army ammunition plant. And this is kind of telling. Major media, as you might suspect, remains pretty much muted, silent about the incident, despite potentially major implications for the nation's ammunition supply, especially if what's left has all been shipped over to Ukraine. The local fire marshal is investigating the incident. No word yet on the cause that your host could find, but there are at least a few noteworthy items to consider, says Natural News. The timing is especially curious, given that the Biden regime has been calling for stricter ammunition laws in the United States. They don't want you peons to have any of this. And just last year, there were a number of stories suggesting that the District of Criminal Crocs were plotting new regulations, restricting sales of ammunition to civilians. And they don't want you to have a rifle, but they're not nearly as upset if it's only a club. For example, Winchester says the piece is currently only allowed to sell surplus ammo on the civilian market once the military has had its fill. And I think you got to remember, folks, nowadays that includes the standing army. In other words, any federal bureaucracy with three letters in its initials. This is the policy the Biden-Fuhrer regime wants to nullify now because it represents about 30% of all 5.56 and 2.23 caliber ammunition sales. And concerning the Hornady incident, this shouldn't surprise us, a growing number of people are now suggesting it just might have been attacked by the very same government that last year was exposed for wanting to ban various types of ammunition to the public. Think about it, folks. You don't have to have a Speaker of the House sign off on anything to pull this one off. And the story suggests that Hornady may now have gone offline for ammunition sales and that Winchester has announced no civilian ammo from here on out. But if you believe anything other than the official narrative, folks, you know what they're going to call you, don't you? Not just conspiracy theorists anymore, right-wing MAGA extremists and probably domestic terrorists or white nationalists. Yeah, get used to it, because once they get rid of all the ammo, it's only going to get worse. Which takes me smoothly to these next two related stories, both from the Daily Mail in the UK, that I'm going to call The Great Cave-In. The first one chortles about the demise of the Kraken, as they refer to crusading firebrand lawyer Sidney Powell, who's been hammered because of her association with Donald Trump and representing him during the failed attempt to restore election integrity back in 2020. That's not exactly how the Daily Mail puts it, as you can almost certainly guess. I'll put it this way, quoting Marlon Brando.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Well, I guess she metaphorically saw the horse's head in her bed and didn't. The Kraken lawyer, they said, age 68, admitted 6 criminal counts and avoided jail. There's the key, as she was sentenced to 6 years probation during a surprise appearance at the Fulton County Circus Court in Georgia on Thursday. And in what they gleefully called a devastating blow to Trump, she agreed to testify truthfully, yeah, sure, against her co-defendants, including the former president, at future trials. And the shocking move, they admit, sparked speculation that she had flipped and agreed to cooperate with persecutors, turning on her old boss and on the Constitution, the rule of law, and all the American people in the process. And I guess in exchange, she won't get raped or worse in prison. The story helpfully tells us that, oh yeah, as for the Kraken, that was a reference to the mythical octopus-like creature depicted in the Hollywood blockbuster movie Clash of the Titans. In the movie, the monster was slain, but in the real world, the opposite is now true. The Daily Mail seems to gleefully think that's not only Sidney Powell, but the dragon slayer himself, Donald Trump. Oh yeah, and that's not all. She was ordered to write a letter of apology to the state of Georgia and its residents. And you know what, folks? I actually struggled to not come up with a really sarcastic, disgusted response to that. I guess all I can think of is, well, if she had just given up the sexual favors early on, like, say, the vice president did, there might have been a whole different outcome to this, don't you think? One thing, again, though, seems to be true. George Orwell was right. Read the shocking last 4 words from his classic dystopian Warning, 1984. The protagonist, Winston, he loved Big Brother. And there you go. Right, Sidney? But this looks like a 1-2 punch. The Daily Mail also has this headline. Jim Jordan has called off the third vote for Speaker of the House. More House chaos, it says, as the top Republican says he will now back, in other words, sell out, and allow the rhino Patrick McHenry, temporary Speaker of the House, to become the permanent temporary Speaker and take the gavel. Well, at least for now and for the foreseeable future. This is the piece amid signs he was going to lose more and more support. The House rhinos have been making it clear they intended to eat away at him like maggots on a corpse. He would lose more support from his GOP colleagues as time wore on. The conservative, it says, who shed votes during his first two bids, is now going to back, giving Rhino Kevin McCarthy ally Patrick McHenry the gavel in a temporary bid to end the stalemate and get the House back to business as usual. What else do you need to know? I think Steve Bannon's commentary on precisely this subject has been pretty spot on for the last couple of days. He suggested that this was precisely what the rhinos and the deep state have been up to and pushing for. And the so-called coalition includes the far left, united behind the communist anti-speaker of the House, Hakeem Jeffries. Would the rhinos really give the gavel to a complete communist? Answer, I think everybody's starting to believe they really do intend to do precisely that. If they can get a temporary permanent speaker in place, then the pressure's off and they can continue to do business as usual for, well, forever if necessary, or at least as long as the corpse of the United States remains animated. So I guess it's fair to ask, has Jordan completely sold out to business as usual or just caved and kind of like Sydney recognized that, the swamp has won and why go down to that watery grave all alone? Oh yeah, I will admit, is it possible that it's just a brilliant political maneuver on the way to more business as usual? I guess time will tell, but meanwhile, it's kind of hard to argue against. Another one bites the dust, and another one gone, and another one gone, another one bites the dust, hey. Most of us probably recognize by now that one of the biggest lies among an administration famous for the Hitlerian big lie is that the border is closed. Well, I guess that means if you're an American that believes in certain self-evident truths. As for communists and terrorists, oh yeah, come on in. We'll give you your jihadi cell assignments, your Obama phone and your UBI, and your train, plane, and bus pass. And there's one other really big border exception, notes Bob Unruh for WorldNet Daily, and also the Gateway Pundit. Resettlement of those that are persecuted by faith is down by a big margin. Well, at least if your faith happens to be associated with the God of the Bible. The Biden-Fuhrer's regime claims that America's southern border is closed, even as its policies allow millions upon millions of illegal aliens to flood in. Some of us, though, would say encourages rather than just allows. But there is an exception. A segment of society that's feeling the full brunt of border security persecution. As he puts it, Christians. Decision Magazine documents that the U.S., along with the Biden-Fuhrer and the White Whorehouse, has cut the resettlement of Christians fleeing persecution around the globe by fully 70% compared to 2016. Quote, Open Doors, which annually ranks the 50 countries in which it's most difficult to live as a Christian, and World Relief, a global Christian humanitarian organization, issued a joint report in September that in 2022, the U.S. government resettled barely one-third of the number of Christian refugees who were granted asylum in 2016, said the report. In fact, the actual numbers of Christians resettled in the United States was 9,528, down from 32,248 in 2016, and folks, that's less than one day's worth of illegal immigrants, ISIS, Hamas, and Hezbollah jihadists, and Communist Chinese People's Liberation Army imports that infiltrate the non-existent southern border, and I'll say it again, each and every day. I guess I should put it this way. You want to come in and wage jihad, destroy infrastructure, suck on the public teat? Yeah, come on in, but don't you dare bring a Bible. After all of that today, folks, I have a really important, and I'll have to admit it, I think it's a suggestion worth repeating today for how we deal with the multiple problems that are plaguing the United States, primarily from, of course, the swamp itself, beginning with an ever more timely reminder, now that World War III is really getting rolling, because there have been so many indications from major think tanks, military consultants, and so forth saying, yep, the United States needs to institute another draft if we're going to successfully pull off the rest of World War III. And there's been more and more talk on that front, surprise, just this week. And associated with that, I also heard an interesting but damning statistic over the weekend. Did you know that casualties among Ukrainian frontline troops in the war against Russia are 80 to 90%? How's that for drawing a short straw? We'll probably see what it looks like in Gaza before too long as well. And as you no doubt remember, part of the big debate and the oh-so-incredible brinksmanship we saw leading up to the weekend sellout was, do we or do we not continue to open the U.S. borders and let invaders stream across without any hindrance whatsoever, but with lots of incentives once they get here, while at the same time we continue to send billions more down the rat hole in Ukraine? Oops, yeah, forget about that. We got another front now to divert your attention. You're obviously not allowed to ask the question, why is their border so worth defending while ours isn't? Pick a border. There are several now that are all more important than the one to the south. Well, folks, I want to spend a few minutes next looking at a couple of things. For example, let's talk costs. Some leftist sites like ProPublica and NPR and others are saying Trump spent almost $3 billion on the worthless border wall. Well, it's worthless now. The Biden Fuhrer pretty much destroyed what was put up and invited other people to just circumvent it, while the Border Patrol, how's that for a misnomer, is literally cutting the razor wire and saying, come on in, the water's fine and the goodies are free. I really think they need to change the name from Customs and Border Protection to Communists and Bidenista Propaganda. Rather than stopping people at the border, folks, they're cutting the razor wire and helping them in. You can watch the videos online, for now anyway. How's that for traitors on the southern frontier? But Benedict Arnold's at the border aside, it's enlightening, I would suggest, to take a look at projected costs to put up a border wall. Or now I guess we'd have to say to re-put up what was destroyed. A derogatory piece from TexasMonthly.com, dated April 21 of 21, says, "Ooh, it might cost $27 million a mile." Well, in that case, folks, 1,000 miles of similar wall might cost $27 billion, with a B. Other estimates compiled from leftist sources, including the BBC, say that a border wall might cost anywhere from $12 billion to, oh, imagine this, $40 billion. But wait a minute, that's chump change. In early August, those pulling the Biden-Fuhrer strings sent a supplemental appropriations request to Capitol Hill for $24 billion just in assistance to Ukraine. That's not counting armament and all the other goodies they've got on the table, and those that are being siphoned off and sent up the chain to the various big guys, no doubt. So far, in Ukraine alone, the U.S. has spent $113 billion in four separate spending packages, and that's just for starters. They keep wanting to up the ante. Oh, yeah, and let's not forget, the Biden regime left $80 or $90 billion worth of U.S. military hardware for terrorists like ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Kind of makes you wonder how many billion of that have already crossed back in across the open southern border now, doesn't it? But one thing's for sure, that too would have built, oh, at least a couple, maybe three or four border walls. And now, in just the last few days, just to buy off the speaker's race and grease those skids to oblivion, the Biden-Fuhrer regime has proposed $100 billion more, this time most of it for Ukraine, but oh yeah, we'll toss Israel a few crumbs too. But as for terrorists and open borders, well hell, we may get a bunch more from Palestine now. How's that for wonderful? So understand this, what's already been spent to push for World War III in Ukraine, and not a dime of it for actual, real defense of the United States, would amount to at least 3 and maybe 10 complete border walls. Well, meanwhile, enough invaders to populate the state of Wyoming, for example, are crossing the border just about each and every month. I guess you could ask how many Communist Chinese Party People's Liberation Army battalions does that include? One thing you know for sure, General Marxist Milley, retired or not, isn't about to tell you, although his PLA general buddies probably know. Neither is $1 for his quote-unquote services, Lloyd Austin. And the clueless Congress, by any measure, folks, wastes more than that every single year. And are you ready for this? Interest alone on the utterly unpayable so-called national debt is projected by the CBO to take pretty much two-thirds of $1 trillion in 2023. And that's up $200 billion in the last year, enough to build 5 full walls, and that's including Bidenflation. Why, just the stuff they're arguing about still could probably build a wall or two. I think the point's obvious. There is no intent to stop the invasion. The intent is the exact opposite. It's to destroy the United States. Which leads me to that suggestion I was talking about. If nothing else, it connects the dots and I think makes the point, really brings it home dramatically. Here we go. Rather than instituting a draft and sending young men and women, boys and girls to die for some other country's borders, why not say, hey, come on in. We obviously don't have a southern border at this point. After all, we're subsidizing your entry to the United States and crappy Border Patrol isn't even slowing it down. So let's just make a deal and see, folks, if this doesn't connect a whole lot of dots and maybe solve a whole bunch of problems all at the very same time. Now, let me say this up front. We all know it's not going to happen, but if people want to call their Congress critters and make the obvious point, maybe at least some of the chicanery might be a bit harder to hide. And here's kind of the thought process that I went through to get here. I can certainly respect any young person of draftable age who would say, hey, they're not protecting our border. They're not protecting my farm, my home, my chance to even have children and a life in the years to come. So why the hell would I want to go over and fight and die on some other front for a country that basically only has one purpose, and that's to cover up the graft and corruption of the fake and its communist masters pulling the strings in the swamp? You got Venezuelans this last week streaming across the border carrying a Venezuelan flag. Well, why don't they, if they don't want to fight for Venezuela, go fight in Ukraine? It's almost as corrupt as where they came from. There actually is precedent for this, folks. There have been times in U.S. history when people could earn their citizenship, hey, what a concept, by actually fighting for a country that once believed in those self-evident truths and that people were fighting and dying to defend God-given, constitutionally protected rights and freedoms. Ha ha! How ironic is that nowadays? So, since Big Brother and Alejandro Mayorkas are already saying, come on in, we'll give you freebies, why don't we change it just a little bit and say, oh yeah, come on in, we're just going to do two things. And by the way, we force these on Americans anyway, so what do you got to argue about? First, if you want to come in, you have to take the Zyklon B injection. That way we know there won't be any issue in years to come with birthright citizenship, ha ha ha, once you figure out what the mRNA's done to your fertility. And number two, of course, we're going to send you overseas to fight and die for somebody else's borders. How ironic is that? How apropos? Men and women, boys and girls, and especially transgenders, hey, the military will love you. Go on over and fight. Maybe die. And, yeah, if you want to, when you're done, or maybe even before, we'll give you whatever transgender or trans whatever we've got next surgery paid for out of that same bottomless cup of coffee that we aren't using to defend the borders now. And imagine, folks, how this deals with all the arguments you've heard about how it's too expensive to deport all of these people that are crossing the border by the millions. Why, how much would that cost? We haven't got the money. But ironically, we've got enough money that we're contemplating sending tens or hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of Americans to go over and fight and die for somebody else's border. All we're really talking about doing is taking that draft from a different pool. And it's right there. Lots and lots of them getting bus and plane tickets already. We just changed the destination a bit. And let's not forget this. We're talking about sending billions of dollars worth of more equipment, M1 Abrams tanks and F-16s and who knows what else, maybe even missing F-35s, over to Ukraine. This will no doubt be less expensive than what they've already got planned. But it's all funny money, isn't it? And they're printing it by the, trillion at this point. Oh, yeah, and one more thing, too, folks. Dare I suggest that if people actually were told, you cross that border, we may ship you over to fight and die in World War III, that it might stem the flow just a teeny bit? Well, if not, hey, we got nothing to lose at this point, right? Oh, yeah, and I can imagine one more objection you might hear. How about all those kids that are coming across the border? Don't we have compassion on them? Well, folks, we want to inject 12-year-olds, 6-year-olds, and now all the way down to 6-month-olds, how's this for compassion? With an injection which is A, untested, B, doesn't defend them against anything, and we know it, C, statistically, they're not even remotely likely to suffer from the booga-booga flu anyway, but D, turns out they are far more likely to be sterilized and never have progeny of their own. So who are we kidding? Let me say it again. Why not do to invaders what we're already doing to our own kids, whether they like it or not? Or for crying out loud, folks, at least admit the deadly hypocrisy here. Oh yeah, there's one other thing. If you say kids are too young to go into battle, well, they're probably too young to be force injected, but why don't we just put them in some kind of a camp until they're big enough to go, that is, if they survive at all anyway, and then ship them over? The Biden-Führer's puppet masters have continued to assure us that war will still be going on by then, if the world hasn't already been reduced to nuclear ash, that is. All right, well, there you go. Admittedly, this has zero chance of actually happening, but I guess you could say the same thing about actually stemming the tide of Communist Chinese Party, ISIS, and you name it, foreign invaders coming across and destroying what's left of the United States anyway. But at least this way, we get to point out the absurdity of idiots bent on self-destruction while they're pushing the entire world to nuclear Armageddon. And you know what else? It might be a really great way to inform the cannon fodder of tomorrow exactly what it is that they're fighting for, or not, and what Big Brother intends to make them die for. When it comes to just saying no, folks, I think it's helpful to be able to plan ahead. But now here we are, less than 2 weeks since I first put that modest proposal together, and I'll suggest, if you thought that border incursion in Israel was bad, just wait till you see what they've got planned now that the borders are still open, but the invaders have already joined up with their cells and their battalions. Be aware, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.